In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, and the story that we heard today about the four friends who brought their paralytic friend to the Lord Jesus, and how they managed to uncover the roof and bring him down in front of the Lord. And what we will concern ourselves about today is the statement that was said when the Lord was about to heal the man. We read that when Jesus saw their faith, as if faith is something that's visible, can be seen, and actually it is, and this is what exactly the Lord Jesus is looking for in every one of us. He wants and desires that all of us will show faithfulness. And this word about being faithful sometimes is unidentified in the mind of many. People sometimes assume that being faithful means that I believe in God, and that's enough, and that's okay. When we come here and recite the creed, this makes me a faithful person. Far from being the truth. Faithfulness is something entirely different. Let us see and review the scripture and see what does it mean to be faithful, and how God values this, and how we all, even when we find someone who is a faithful person, we look to him with respect and we learn from his example, and we hope that we all come one day to become faithful in the sight of God and men. First kind of faithfulness is a person who is faithful towards others. I cannot be a true believer while I cannot hold some kind of responsibility and faithfulness towards other people living around us. Those people have all the reasons to abandon their friend. Maybe they stay with him for a few days, few weeks, trying to comfort him, maybe telling him that God one day will do a miracle. But later on, many people will give up on a friend like this. Not only friends. Many people give up even on very dear people, like parents, because their illness has been for a long time, and we have no patience for this. Those people are counted as faithful because they stayed with their friend. They worked very hard in order to bring some kind of healing to him. Friendship also is a place where real faithfulness can show and take place. Now you can find people, they are sacrificing their friends for the least reasons and unacceptable excuses. Just like being friends for years doesn't mean that we are going to continue being friends. I can lose you in a comment. You make it and I feel like I am hurt because of it. I can even sacrifice like 20 or 30 years of friendship just because of a remark I didn't like. At that time, everything falls apart. This is not faithfulness. This is not what God intended for us to live by. Another example is the example of Ruth. Ruth was faithful towards her mother-in-law. If Ruth was faithful towards her mom, we would definitely commend her. But why it was difficult? Because she, at that time, before even knowing the command that she will be one with her husband, and accordingly, his mom becomes her mom. She manifested this kind of faithfulness. She stayed with the woman all through, even after her husband died. She went with Ruth, with Naomi, went back to Israel, served her faithfully, and she told her, "Your people is my people. Your God is my God." Look at Ruth and look at ourselves, how we abandon this relationship, how we deal sometimes with disrespect and discomfort with our in-laws, and we justify it to ourselves because they are not whoever they are. Let me ask all of you, do you deal the same way with your parents if they are showing any kind of behavior that you don't like? If you tolerate your parents and accept them no matter what, because they are my parents, what is the difference when it comes to the in-laws? That you are supposed to take care of them, deal with them with respect, because now you are one with the woman or the man that you married, and before God, God will ask you about how you deal with those kind of relationships. Faithfulness towards others also showed in the friendship between Jonathan and David. Jonathan, he knew that being faithful to David means he will lose the inheritance. He is not going to be king over Israel anymore. But this was not a big deal for him. He valued the friendship more than the throne. And this is a lesson also for us. Well, how do I make values and how do I choose? Am I faithful even if this is going to cost me, if I'm going to lose something? Or my friendship, my faithfulness will come to an end immediately when I'm about to lose something. Lose time, effort, anything. No, I cannot afford this. I will sacrifice the friendship because simply my faithfulness has a limit. And the limit is when I start losing something. This is a form of faithfulness. And as a faithful person, we should demonstrate this kind of faithfulness in our lives. The second kind of demonstration of faith in our lives is faithfulness towards responsibilities. We are all have responsibilities that God entrusted us with. And look at the examples that I'm going to mention here. Many people, they are responsible. They can take care of things, and this is good. But look at someone like Samuel. Samuel, he was a judge over Israel. And the issue that's happening with him in these days, the people came to him and said, you know what? You are too old. Your children are not good. We do not want you to be a judge over us. It is very difficult when you still think in your mind, I am still responsible for those people who reject me. It is very hard, but Samuel understood his role very well. He said to the people, yes, you rejected me. I have no role with you anymore. I cannot judge you. But look at the answer that I want all of us to remember it and live by. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. It doesn't matter if you accept me or not, I will never cease to pray for you. I will never cease for guiding, counseling, giving advice whenever necessary. A great example of faithfulness towards a responsibility. We as parents, sometimes we feel like our children, they do not heed our advice anymore. They are not on the same page. For whatever reason, they do not listen. Does this make our responsibility towards them to come to an end? Is this the end of the story? Definitely not. Parent will always be a parent. Your role might change. Whatever accepted from you might be less. But no, in no way we can abandon this responsibility. Look at Nehemiah and the challenges before him. Many people will feel discouraged when they are to go in a project like building the wall of Jerusalem, and then everybody is discouraged. Nehemiah was faithful towards his responsibility because he was able to leave his comfort zone. I will come out from where I work in Persia, where I have a very good career, and I will take care of something. I am not called to do it. I am not a priest. And even no one told me, go and build. But he was a faithful person. He has this sense of responsibility that made him to leave his comfort zone. He handled the low morale of the people. He handled the enemies. He handled the magnitude of the work faithfully to the end. And he got the job done. Is this how we act towards responsibilities when we face challenges? This is a question for all of us today to answer. Look at Moses and his faithfulness, even with his loss. God told Moses, you cannot enter the promised land. I would feel, if I am Moses working with the people for 40 years, and then I will be punished because they forced me to go over my limit and sin against God, I would feel discouraged that I would still even think about what I'm going to do afterward. But Moses, look at him. Even after he knew that he is going not to go into the promised land, he says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Even though I will not go with them, but I care. Even though I am banished because of you, still I want the best for you. How faithful was this man, who even because of them, he is going to be denied access to the promised land that he lived dreaming with for 40 years. Still, I care. God, please appoint someone else. I want to be feel comforted that someone is taking the lead. A faithful person is not only faithful towards others and responsibilities, but faithful towards principles. Do we have principles? Principles is not something I can hold on for a certain time and abandon when I don't like or feel like this is something that's of value of me. I'm afraid that many people now, principles are just something they pretend to have. They hold it whenever they feel like or whenever the situation calls for, but later on, definitely, it's not something I can live and die for it. Principles to understand if I am faithful or not, we can review and see how people value principles. Principles should be more important than desires. Joseph, the son of Jacob, his mistress was tempting him. He has a principle. I cannot betray the trust of the master of the house. The second principle, I cannot commit this great sin in front of the Lord. This is good, wonderful, Joseph. We like how you talk about it. But let us put you on a test. And now it is your desire. A young man living in the palace, tempted with his mistress, she can make him maybe like a very high rank in Egypt. At that time, his principle stood firm, and he held on it. No way I can do this, even while the woman is trying to grab him into sin. I know how tempting is the internet for us, and I know how the computer is taking a grip on our minds, but I don't think the computer has hands yet, I hope it will never happen, to grab us in and then make you sin. And you feel like, okay, I cannot go out because somebody is extending hand from the computer and then is like holding me captive. We still can say no. We need to believe that what we hold as principle, we will defend it and we will die for it. We can slip, but this should be the exception. Principles also should be more important than even lawful rights. What do I mean by this? Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, after David committed sin with her, she's pregnant, and now David wants to cover the sin. So what should I do? Let me bring her husband from the war and ask him, why don't you go and spend the night at your home, have good time with your wife? You need a break from the war. And Uriah, we find him saying to David, there is no way I go to my house and I become intimate with my wife while the people of God are in war. I cannot do it. And we look at Uriah and wonder, what kind of man is this? This is an amazing example. He even is denying himself his lawful right to be intimate with his wife simply because I have a principle. I cannot relax. I cannot give myself a vacation while the people of God is at war. How can I do this? An example for us what is faithfulness is all about. Principles also should be more important than life itself. Of course, this is something we look at it, we admire it, but I don't know if any of us today would really die for a principle. The three saintly youth, it was very clear for them, we will never worship the image and the statue of the king, no matter what. And even if this is going to cost us, that we'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. Principles not only should be like more important than desires, than lawful rights, than life, but the principles of our parents, how we value them, how we live by them. There is an interesting story in the book of Jeremiah about a man called, or the children called, the sons of Rechab. Rechab, we don't know about him. But this man told his children, you should not drink wine. Nice, good. Maybe we said this many times to our children. But what the children would do when they are on their own? The sons of Rechab, actually, God told Jeremiah, go and invite them. He's a prophet. And tell them, I am inviting you to a banquet and I want you to drink wine. So now, the command coming from the prophet of God to the sons of Rechab, come share with me a banquet, drink wine. How those people reacted? How those children reacted? They said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. They stood before a prophet, saying to him, we cannot do what you are asking us. We are faithful to the principle that our father taught us to live by. I look at this and my heart aches when I know and I see children that were taught many times about what is right and what is wrong, the principle that parents want them to live by in order for them to be faithful, to be safe. And once parents are turning back, everything falls apart. Nothing is going to be kept. I will live with what I feel. I will go with whatever my desires are calling me to do. Where is the example of the sons of Rechab today? Faithfulness also is not only towards others, towards principles, towards responsibilities, about spiritual commitment. When you are married, you are committed, and the commitment keeps the marriage on. When you are in a relationship with God, your commitment is what will keep the relationship on. People sometimes feel committed whenever they love or they are passionate. I am passionate towards my wife, then I am faithful to her. Once this passion goes away, I am absolved then. I am passionate towards God, then I keep my spiritual law. I pray, I come to the church, I read the Bible. But the moment I feel like, or I don't feel like, I want to pray, this is the end of it. But this is not what Daniel did. Daniel in Babylon, there is food he should not eat. I will never eat it. Even if I'm in Babylon, away from my home, I cannot defile myself and share in this. This is faithfulness. Spiritually, he has a commitment. I cannot eat something that was slain to be offered to idols. Period. The end of the story. It's not something like, oh, what a big deal about eating something that's not fasting in a fasting day. What's the problem about delaying the nativity fast in order for the Thanksgiving that we eat the turkey? What's the big deal about breaking the fast in New Year's Eve? What is the big deal about breaking the fast in Christmas Day? All of this says something. I'm not committed. Don't give it any other name. And look about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She made a vow. It's a commitment before God. If you give me a son, I will give him to you. Do you really mean what you say? Yes, I mean it. How? When God gave her Samuel, after she waited for him for years, she never hesitated. She never thought, what about maybe changing? Can I send maybe a bull instead of my son? Can I go to the priest and ask for an absolution? Eli, please, can you absolve me because I do not want to give my son? I just made a vow in haste. I was so much troubled with my feelings, and that's why I made a vow, but really, I didn't mean it. Nothing of this was said by Hannah. She made a vow, and as a committed person, she fulfilled it. No discussions, no argument, no feelings, nothing. An example of faithfulness. Faithfulness also is towards the biblical truth. St. Paul says something very interesting to the Galatians. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He says, if I come to you myself in another occasion and teach you something different than what I told you before, let me be accursed. If an angel from heaven come to you and preach something else than what you were taught, let the angel be accursed. This is what is faithfulness to the truth in the Bible. I'm not going to change my belief because I want to be accepted by others, or I want to show that I am so kind, or I like maybe associating with another congregation from another denomination because they are nice and kind, and the biblical truth, let this go anywhere. What's the big deal? We all love Jesus. So Christianity is summarized in one statement: love Jesus and believe whatever. What is this? This is the example of faithfulness that St. Paul was saying. Athanasius, at one time, the whole world adopted the heresy of Arius. All the bishops, all the kings, and they came to him and he told Athanasius, you are the only person left. No one else still believe that Jesus is God. And he says, and I am against the world. And who prevailed? Athanasius. Today we believe that Jesus is God because of one man who is faithful to the truth. He did not feel shy, intimidated. He wanted to agree with others. Let me just be kind and nice. Let me say statements that's like can understood here and there. Athanasius was an example of faithfulness towards the biblical truth. The last question we will answer today: why did the faithful disappear from among the sons of men? This is what we pray every day in the Psalms. لماذا قلت الأمانة من بني البشر? Where did the faithful go? We can identify some reasons. The first one is that many times we have ideas but no conviction. What is the difference? Idea is just a word, something in the mind. I express it with my tongue. But at the time when this to apply, certain other calculations would take place. I believe that my son or my daughter should be chaste and pure, and that accordingly he cannot have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, da-da-da-da-da. Wonderful. And then the son or the daughter come when he's 15 and 16, and saying, Mom, I love this girl dearly, and I think she makes a good match for me. We will marry whenever we are 25, after 10 years, everything is calculated, everything will be on track. And the mom, she doesn't want to upset her dear son, and she says to him, okay, but be careful, don't do anything wrong. Okay, go ahead, God bless you, ma'asalam. And we know the rest of the story. The relationship cannot be staying like static. It is the nature of this kind of relationship to escalate. And after a few months, they are physical. And then you go sexual. And then life is disturbed. Everything is upside down. Why? Because the mom, what she believed in, when her son was 8 years, 7 years, there is no friendship, there is no kind of dating before they are at age. Now, I will compromise it, because I do not want to upset my sweetheart. This is an idea. Conviction is something different. Conviction means I say it, I believe in it, and I do it no matter what and whatever it costs. Another reason why did the faithful disappear is that when we are taken captive by another master. I cannot be faithful to masters at the same time, either God or somebody else. And this somebody else can be anything. Cain, he has his ego hurt. He was offering to God. Next day, he is killing his brother. What's going on? The master that's truly in me was hurt. Accordingly, I have nothing else to defend or being faithful towards. Samson, he lost his faithfulness. I was taken captive by the desires of the flesh. From a woman to another woman to another woman to a harlot to a Philistine, etc., etc., etc. Judas and his love for money made him unable to be faithful towards the Lord who called him. There is no way I can be faithful to God and I have something else taking me captive from inside. It's a rule that has no exception. We cannot falter between the two camps. I cannot hold something dear here that's against God, and at the same time I say, I love Jesus. This is a statement intended for self-deception. Nothing more and nothing less. The third reason why the faithful disappear, that we yield to outside pressure for acceptance. I love God. I love the church. I love what church is teaching me. But once I am pressured, then everything falls. I can't. I want to be accepted by others. This is more important to me than anything else. I will break my fast if this is what everybody is doing. I will speak profanity if this is what makes me funny. I will steal, I will cheat if this is what makes me maybe to go with the people around me and make profit. Yielding to pressure will never allow us to be faithful. Also, faithfulness is disappearing because we sometimes quickly get frustrated along the way. I walk with God and I see, oh, where are the results? Why I'm not gaining what I am supposed to receive because of my faithfulness? God is not rewarding me as I think or as I wish. But then I abandon God. That's it. It is not working. Another reason is we link faithfulness to a benefit or a gain. Meaning, I am faithful to you as a friend if you are in a way in good status and good health, and I am faithful to my wife if she's serving me, if she's doing whatever she's supposed to do. But if not, if she's not nice, I have no reason to be faithful to her. I am faithful to my parents as far as I benefit from them. I am faithful towards my in-laws as far as they are nice and kind towards me. But anything else, it doesn't. This is not faithfulness. This is a relationship of mutual benefits. We trade something. I give you something, give me something back. This is not faithfulness. Faithfulness should not have no reason to stay there. To be a faithful person, it doesn't need that you get paid back. This is not faithfulness. Another reason is the absence of the sense of belonging. I like this picture of this guy. Now he's going to be famous. I'll bring him in every maybe sermon. This guy who is texting at the church. This kind of behavior that unfortunately some of our parents are involved with. They are doing this with clear conscience. I'm just entertaining myself. Abuna is giving a sermon and I cannot sleep. So what's the other activity? Just texting. This guy doesn't belong. He is here physically. But he really is not from here. I don't belong to the church. Yes, my parents, they brought me over and over and over, but I never belonged. You know when this guy is going to show his real face? Once he goes to college and he lives on his own. By then, this guy will seldom go to the church again. I think he's forced. He brought them him, but never belonged. If we do not belong, we cannot be faithful. If I don't value the entity that I am with, my parents, my church, my religion, then everything will never stand. I will show my face once I own my freedom. Then that's it. The faithful disappear also because we are underestimating the little mistakes. I say that I love God, but I can be indulged in small activities or sins. It should not upset God. At the end of the day, I do not kill or steal or commit adultery, so God should be happy with me. But I can ignore prayer. I can speak profanity. I can mingle with people who are not godly. I can hold some kind of like dating friend relationships on the side, but not up, of course, to God forbid, sexual immorality. No, this is not for me. Eventually, it will be. It's a track that once you step on it, you will end up there. You cannot be faithful. You are saying, I'm just doing a little mistake. How do you count a husband who say that he is faithful to his wife, or his wife will value him, if this husband still cheat on her, but not up to the point of being sexually active? How do you think of him? How his wife would tell if this guy is flirting with women around him in his workplace? Would she consider him as faithful as far as he did not sleep with someone? He is faithful? No, it is not. In the same way also, being faithful with God, being faithful on all fronts. Yes, we all have our weaknesses, but this is the exception. This is what we are struggling against every day. We will never agree with our weaknesses or adopt as a lifestyle. This is what makes faithful disappear. And that's why what we speak about today is like a fairy tale. These examples that we look at and say, oh, wonderful. How good to be like Daniel. But who is like Daniel? May God have mercy on us and really make us faithful people. Live with what we believe. Show and demonstrate to the whole world our conviction, our belief. And may the Lord to grant all of us the wisdom to make the right choices and live by them. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.